And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, and welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, live and local, on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I am your host for this half-hour journey into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. We are at war. In case you did not know, allow me to inform you that indeed we are at war. The church is under attack. And when it comes to this warfare, it is spiritual in nature. And so on our own, we will lose if we try to depend upon our own strength. To win this spiritual war, we must find our strength in Christ, and we must be strengthened by the strength of His might if we would be overcomers, if we would be victorious. And by the way, if you didn't know that you are in a spiritual fight, you have set yourself up to lose. If you know you're in the spiritual warfare, but you have not prepared yourself spiritually to fight, you're going to lose. And if you know that you're in the spiritual war, but you're not willing to fight, you're going to lose. Unfortunately, many Christians, they don't want to get involved in this battle. They'd rather just ignore the spiritual war that's going on. They don't even realize that all the while that they are trying to avoid this war, it's really come to their doorstep. And so we must know that we are in a war. We must prepare ourselves spiritually in order to engage in the spiritual warfare, and we must be willing to fight with the strength of our Lord. Again, we're at war. There's a war going on, and only the Lord can provide us with the help and the strength that we need to be victorious. Dependent upon our own power, dependent upon our own strength, we'll have disastrous results. And so it's no wonder that at the close of his epistle to the Ephesians, as he prepares to wrap up this glorious epistle, the Apostle Paul makes a final, grand, and sweeping declaration of war. You see, again, Christians, we are involved in a war as old as time. The forces of light are at war with the forces of darkness. The forces of righteousness are opposed to the forces of evil. But the good news is that God has equipped us with everything we need to wage this war victoriously. As I mentioned, the war in which Christians are engaged is spiritual in nature. It is against the forces of darkness, the forces of evil. And Paul talks about this again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. He says in verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." Literally, it says, be strengthened by the Lord. Christians are empowered by the Lord. It's a constant empowering. This is a present tense thing. But it's also passive in voice, which tells me that it's not we who strengthen ourselves. The Lord strengthens us. He does the strengthening. He makes us powerful. And it's him and him alone. There is no other power source which can provide the Christian with what we need in order to fight the battles and fight the good fight of faith. But it's with the strength of his might, or the power of his might. In fact, Paul uses three different words in this single verse, and they all have their subtle distinction of meaning, but the overarching message is that it's God's power which enables the Christian. And so our duty is to be strengthened by him. Our sin would be to be weak. This is imperative. Paul, he's covered doctrine and duties of Christianity throughout this epistle in Ephesians, and now he sums it up, and he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened by him. Put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse 11. Put on as you would put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 talks about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps this is an allusion. Paul is perhaps alluding to baptism. It is an aorist tense verba, aorist tense that has to do with a snapshot event in the past, in history. And so you put on the whole armor when you put on Christ, when you were baptized into him. You put on the whole armor of God, and it's listed in detail in verses 14 through 17, which we'll deal with in the next episode. But bottom line is every piece is vital. He doesn't say put on most of the armor, the good majority of it, a good portion of it. No, he says put on the whole armor of God. And by the way, it's God's armor. It's he who supplies us and provides us with the armor. Why do we need it? Well, he continues in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes, the methodies, the wiles of the devil, maybe your translation says. These are his various tricks. The various ways in which our great enemy will attempt to deceive us into sin. Elsewhere, Paul says, you know, we know his tricks. We're not ignorant of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. And here he says that we stand against, or we face off against in the battlefield of life, against him, with him. To be victorious, we need to put on that armor. Because life is a battlefield. It's the world's broad field of battle, which Longfellow wrote about. It's not soft with ease. It's hard with conflict, with foes, enemies within and without. Yes, you need to put on your whole armor. You need every piece for protection. Why? Well, it's because we have this cunning, clever, crafty enemy, an artful adversary who wants to mount our heads above his mantle in the high halls of hell. He will use all of his stratagem. He will use every tactic, every trick in his book in order to get us. But clothed in the armor of God, we can stand against his attempts. Paul stresses that this is a spiritual war which is being waged in verse 12. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's actually the reverse order in the original language, blood and flesh. And it's a Hebraism. It denoted the idea of men, human beings. And it also points to the weaknesses of men. Just how weak and frail and feeble we are as children of dust, flesh and blood, that's all. And at the same time, it's juxtaposed with the strength of these very real spiritual enemies. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And in fact, that idea of wrestling, back in the day when Paul wrote this in antiquity, wrestling was a contest in which opponents tried to hurl and throw one another to the ground. You've heard of Greco-Roman wrestling, a lot of throws, a lot of upper body type strength stuff. But you would try to hurl your opponent to the ground, and victory came when you could hold down your opponent by the throat, by the neck. This is the only place in which this word is found in the New Testament, so I am told. And it's a unique description of the struggle in which the Christian finds him or herself. These spiritual forces of darkness, we're going to talk about them more in just a moment, but they haven't gone away. These are the minions of Satan. They assail the Christian. They're the ones who are trying to pin us down to the ground, grab us by the throat, and choke us to death spiritually. I want you to see that this is spiritual life and death we're talking about here. And oh, by the way, Jesus talked about how the seed can be choked out. In a parable he told, parable of the sower or the seeds or the soils, Matthew 13 and verse 7, other seeds fell among the thorns grew up and choked them. When asked, what does that mean? Verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. That's exactly what the spiritual forces of darkness want to do to you and to me. They are still active. They are still a constant threat to the believer. They want to choke out the word within us and choke us to death spiritually. Neutrality, brothers and sisters, is not an option for the child of God. We wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's how Paul describes them here in verse 12. Now, he has talked about these spiritual forces before, earlier in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1 and verse 21, he says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. There they are, the rulers, authorities, powers, dominion. All of these, Christ is seated above them. That's important. You need to know that. 3 verse 10, he talks about how the church is making known the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, a lot could be said, and some scholars do attempt to make distinctions among these various classes of spiritual powers. The New Testament usage, though, does not lend itself to noting significant distinctions between these forces and powers. And in fact, the only new one here are the cosmic powers. And this was a title that was applied to pagan gods. Here it seems to have a special designation for the devil and the spiritual forces that have aligned themselves with him. Whatever powers these may be, Christ is still seated above them. He is still superior to them. He is still sovereign over them. And in fact, their power is limited to this present darkness, which is just another way of saying the world. This world. We are against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's just a comprehensive way of speaking of our enemies, our foes in the spiritual realm. Our battle is waged in the heavenly places where we are seated with Christ, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 6. That's where we wage war. Granted, the influence of these evil spiritual beings is felt the world over. There's no place where their influence is not felt. We wage war with them in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual thing. And oh, that I could get every Christian thinking in terms of the spiritual rather than in the physical. We get so caught up in this physical realm and everything going on. So caught up in the politics of the day, the policies, so caught up in the news and everything that's going on, so caught up with political activism, so caught up with justice, whatever that means. Oh, that I could get us to think in terms of spiritual. Most people don't give two rips about the spiritual. No, you just talk to people and you know immediately that their focus is entirely on the physical. It's on this world. It's on themselves. I wish that we could grasp this, that this is spiritual warfare. That this is really the only reality that matters. The spiritual realm and the spiritual reality. This world is going out of business. It's going to be smoked one day. And an everything must go fire sale. And then all that will be left is the eternal realm, the spiritual realm for all eternity. And it's so vital that we fight this war with the strength Christ gives us, with the armor God has for us, strengthened by the Spirit in the inner being. Because this is very real war. And we've got some very, very evil forces that are against us as we seek to live a godly life. Now we're gonna pick up this here in just a moment, talk a little bit more about putting on the whole armor of God. But first, this half hour brought to you by Sunset International Bible Institute. Located in beautiful Lubbock, Texas, SIBI seeks to train whole persons to communicate the whole gospel to the whole world wholly to please God. With a gifted staff of teachers who value the Word of God, who value the Church of Christ, and who value the loss of the world, SIBI offers and provides the best biblical training anywhere. Go online and visit sibi.cc or call 1-800-658-9553. Sunset International Bible Institute, training men and women for over 50 years. I call them the West Point Academy of the Brotherhood, because they do train folks to go to war in the spiritual realm. That's what we've been talking about. And Paul says, therefore, in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, since we are warring this war, fighting this fight against these spiritual forces, not against flesh and blood. There are flesh and blood wars that take place. World War I, World War II, etc. But this war, this is something different. You see, we are in the spiritual war, therefore take up the whole armor of God. He says it again, but in slightly different language. You see, you got this great host of foes who want to destroy you. Take up the whole armor of God. Verse 11 is put on. Now it's pick up the armor that God provides. A lot could be made about that, but I'm persuaded. It's just Paul talking about, hey, we've got it, get it, grab it, go. Let's put this on. If you neglect the armor of God, you will be left vulnerable, open to attack from the forces of evil. These forces he's just described. All of these spiritual forces of darkness. You will be left open and vulnerable for an attack if you do not put on the armor of God. You need this armor so that, the rest of verse 13, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. You want to resist the forces of evil? You want to withstand against them? You want to stand firm? Well, listen, your resistance to the spiritual forces of darkness is dependent upon whether or not you are wearing God's armor. That's what it's dependent upon. Are you wearing your armor? Because listen, there is such a thing as the evil day, and concerning that, one writer says, any day the evil one comes upon us in force is an evil day. Paul's talking about right now. They're coming against us on a regular, constant basis. Your enemy does not sleep nor slumber, but he is constantly seeking to make war with you. Having done all to stand firm. Having done all means you've conquered, you've overcome. And we only do that through Jesus and by his blood. You see, in him we are more than conquerors. And so, stand therefore, he says in verse 14. Stand therefore. Four times, Paul has exhorted these Christians to stand. And I want to talk about that word stand here for just a moment. Verse 11, in verse 13, he mentions it twice, withstand and stand firm. And now here, stand, stand, stand. All this business about stand. Which previously in Ephesians, he's talked about sitting. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. He's talked about walking around. That is how you live. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling in chapter 4. And now here we are at the end, and he's talking about standing. Stand. Well, what of that? The idea here is it's the victor's stand. It's standing victoriously. The image that comes to my mind is the end of, was it Rocky II? Yeah, when Rocky finally defeats Apollo Creed and he wins the heavyweight championship and he's got his arms up, victorious. He does that a lot in the movies. Rocky 2. One of them, he does it in both, I think. He runs up the steps and he's jumping up and down. That's the victor stand. Arms outstretched above your head. Standing firm. Withstanding. Standing victoriously. And there's also another little interesting tidbit about this word stand. The original word, we get our English word from it, antihistamine. You know what an antihistamine is, right? You know what a histamine is? A histamine is an amine, C5H9N3, for those who care. But a histamine, it's what happens when you have an allergic reaction. A histamine is released. This little amine, it's released from these mast cells, and it stimulates all kinds of juicy things, like your nose starts running, your capillaries are dilated, you have decreased blood pressure, maybe even you have the muscles in your throat, they start to constrict. These are all things that happen during an allergic reaction. You start sneezing, your eyes start watering. That's all part of this reaction from this histamine. An antihistamine blocks those things. It blocks those reactions. It keeps the amine from being released. And so, if we work our way backwards, I don't know that they had antihistamines back then, but we... could say that the picture here of the devil, he's an allergen. And the armor of God is the antihistamine. And we are able to resist the allergen when we take up and we put on and we pick up our antihistamine, the armor of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? That's why it's so vital that we take this up, because again, strong enough allergic reaction and you could die. Some people are deathly allergic to peanut butter. Listen, spiritually speaking, we are deathly allergic to the devil and the spiritual forces of darkness. Yeah, we need to put on this armor. We need to take it up. Something else that stands out in the description of the armor is the tenses of the verbs that are used here. All of them are aorist tense. I mentioned it a few minutes ago. The aorist tense, that's a snapshot event in the past, in history. These are definite actions which enable our standing. When we take up, when we put on the various pieces of the armor, I'm persuaded this stuff happened when we were obedient to the gospel and when we were baptized. That's when we put on this armor. Now, you can take it off after becoming a Christian, after putting it on. You could take it off, but again, if you take it off, if you neglect it, it'll be to your detriment and even to your destruction potentially. But we did. We put these things on. Now, we probably didn't understand all the various intricacies and how to fight with it and all that. But we learn that. We come to figure out truth and righteousness and the gospel, just how exactly these things. Listen, you will spend the rest of your life finding out the various how the various pieces of armor impact your life. How to wield the sword of the Spirit. How to take up and defend against the fiery darts of the evil one with the shield of faith. Yeah, all of this stuff, all of this. We put it on and then we spend the rest of our life. That's discipleship, by the way. We put it on, we took it up at the baptistry, and now we spend the rest of our life figuring out how to use it. And how to wage war victoriously. In the various battles of life. The struggle against the world and the flesh and the devil, yeah, we continue to learn how to wage this war successfully, how to be a good soldier for Christ, and ultimately, in the end, how we might say with Paul, I have fought the good fight, and unite with him as we cross the finish line of life. Now, I'm going to break down each one of these various pieces of the armor in the next episode. This is a two-parter. We're going to come back right here to this text, and we're going to take off and talk about the armor and what it means for us and those sorts of things, and even some of the reasons. Why did Paul even talk about this armor? Well, we'll talk about that as well. But I really wanted to press upon you, first and foremost, there's a war going on. One of my shepherds stood in front of our congregation just a few weeks ago and talked about how we are under attack. And it's every day, it's constant. Our enemy does not sleep, he does not slumber, he constantly comes against us. He doesn't have to sleep. And all day, every day, he is constantly working against us. Only by taking up this armor can we be victorious. Only by the strength of God can we do this. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with the podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the Question of the Day segments are there, all available, all free for you to use in your daily Bible study. Follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio and video there to help you in your daily walk with the Lord, other resources. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store and download all the episodes to your particular device. And as always, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.